Welcome to Midland Classical Academy's Good Night Dad podcast. Our promise is to partner with parents to develop Christ-like leaders. Now here are your hosts, General Eccles and Brandon Schumann.
Welcome back to the Good Night Dad podcast. I'm General Eccles, joined as always by Brandon Schumann. Hey, Brandon.
Hello.
Today's episode, we're going to get right into it. We're going to be talking about MCA and the issue of MCA not being an accredited school. And I guess we're going to approach this in a Mythbusters fashion, I guess, if you'll humor me on that. Tell us a little bit about MCA, the issue of accreditation, and why we do it the way we do it.
Well, as you said, MCA is not state accredited, and currently we're not pursuing to become state accredited. There's a couple of reasons for that. One of the first things I want to just put out there, just from a philosophic standpoint, and that is that you as a parent are our accreditation board.
Ooh, I like that.
And just let that sink in for just a minute. I mean, you as a dad, you as a mom, you are our accreditation board. And so we are accountable. We're accountable to you directly. You choosing to send your son or daughter to Midland Classical Academy, you're the one that's validating what the value of our education system. And so thank you for that. We do not take that lightly. Again, just in the very first lines of the MCA policy manual is the idea of loco parentis. And I joked about this earlier that that doesn't mean those crazy parents. That's not Latin for crazy parents. It means in place of parent. And as a staff, as teachers, as a school, we are here in place of you doing and functioning on behalf of you as a mom and dad, because you've asked us to do these things. The first line of the MCA policy manual reads, it says, tutors are to remember that they do not function above parental authority, but rather with delegated authority from the parents. And so that just at our very core and foundation, you are our accreditation.
As a parent, I really appreciate that.
And that's something that we constantly remind ourselves of. I mean, there's sometimes like, man, it'd be easy if we could just control this here. And it's like, nope. If we were to try to manipulate and control that, then we would be taking decisions out of mom and dad's hands, and we don't want to do that. You lose way more than you gain when you do that. And it's undermining God's authority, because God has charged you as moms and dads to raise your kids up. And yes, we have a very high calling and task to be faithful teachers in that, but you are the authority. You are the accreditation board. So with that, the reason we're not state accredited as well, because you're parents are the accreditation regardless of where you send your kids or how you choose to educate them. But the reason we're not state accredited is because it would really neutralize the heart of who we are. When the state gets involved at an accreditation level, there's lots of regulations and rules. Things have to fit thus and so. And if we had to fit those standards, which can be good for a lot of things, but not for us as a school, but if we had to do that, then it would really rip the heart out of what it is that we're doing and how we go about doing it. And I think one of the biggest ways is just hours in the classroom. To be state accredited, students have to be in the classroom X number of hours a year. That would neutralize the idea of home days at the grammar school level, which allows you to be the primary teacher on home days. At the upper school, it would remove the opportunity for students to have the freedom to learn how to be self-governing and make decisions when they get out of class at 9:15 and don't have class till after lunch. That's where, in my opinion, that's where a lot of the learning takes place. It's just, how do I manage my own time? I've been given a lot of extra homework because I don't have class. How do I use this time wisely? It would remove from students the opportunity to learn how to be self-governing at that level, rather than how do I manage the next 7 minutes to get to the next class before the bell rings. Another layer to state accreditation is, if we were to be state accredited, we would have to have a certain number of teachers who are certified by the state or have an education degree of some sort. At the upper school, we don't call our teachers teachers. We call them tutors, and there's a big difference in that. A tutor is someone who's learning with, and we don't hire our teachers for the fact that they're experts. We don't hire them for what they know. We hire them for their character, and there is some knowledge that goes along with that, but character is really primary. And a number of years ago, when I was first interviewing or getting introduced to the school, I was talking with Tim Dunn at a basketball game, and he said, really, there's just two things we're looking for our tutors: a love of learning and a heart to disciple students. And if you have those two things, you love learning because you're going to do a lot of learning at MCA, and you want to disciple students, then this is a potential match. But if either one of those things are not in place, if you don't want to learn new things, then MCA is not the place for you to teach. If you just like your subject and you want to do that one subject, go find somewhere else to teach. Or if you don't want to disciple students, which goes beyond just merely educating with teaching the subject matter, but actually trying to gear at their hearts, then MCA is not the place that you want to be. And it's not to say that if you are a state-certified teacher, you have an education degree, you can't do both of those things. But it really would limit the pool of who could come. For instance, I'm not state-accredited, so I'm very thankful for that fact that I'm allowed to come teach at MCA as opposed to being precluded or viewed as, okay, well, you're going to count as a strike against our numbers. And so as tutors, we get to model this love of learning for our students. When we get into a new class, we get to explore and learn with them. We're not always experts in the subjects that we teach. Last year, I taught logic for the first time. It was challenging for me. I learned lots of new things as I was teaching logic, and it made me a better teacher in other areas as I got to just exposure of that. And it humbled me as I'm going through that, being able to have an appreciation for what students are having to go through and do in their different subjects. And even in my class, which I happen to love, let's say my history classes or great books classes, not every student loves that, but it gives me a real tangible reminder of, hey, history can be hard for some students, just like logic and math are really hard and difficult for me. And it keeps us growing. By not being state accredited and having to fit all of those standards, it really allows MCA to be the freedom to be who we are and to meet our niche and to accomplish the things that we want to accomplish in a God-honoring way without having to go meet a bunch of additional criteria and do it with some hands tied behind our back.
As a parent, if I'm hearing you and I totally buy into the advantages of what you're talking about, is there a cost to the freedom that we have as a school once we separate ourselves from state accreditation standards? Is that going to cost my son in the future as far as college admission? What's the cost of that freedom, I guess, is the way I'd want to ask it.
Honest answer, and just full disclosure, is potentially it can. I mean, it is a risk. I mean, any time you choose to do something, it's going to have a cost. And trying to be wise about, okay, what are the potential costs that this could come up with? Being aware of that before you make any decision, especially something as big as education. By and large, when the school was first founded, there was just that question of, okay, can my kid get into college if we're not state accredited? Because that's what gets kids into college. At least that was the perception. And
right.
Our answer at the time, and this is back in the days before I was necessarily there, that the answer was, we don't know. And so it took pioneer families saying, okay, well, we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
And we'll find out. And so they took that big risk. And we are now the beneficiaries of those pioneer families that not just started the school, but enrolled their kids at the school to take that risk. Because as we found out, it usually does not come into play. We've had students get into Harvard, and we've had them get into the Air Force Academy. And it's pretty rare that schools will say, are you accredited? Kathy Prescott, the head administrator at the upper school, has said she's never had a college say, are you accredited? By and large, been a non-issue.
We've only had one student that we've even attempted to get into college, but that was a non-issue, and that's for a state school in Michigan, a complete non-issue. I mean, surprisingly so.
Schools are interested, okay, well, what is it that you're learning? What are the classes, and what are those classes like? And then when you start explaining, okay, here's what we do in chemistry, and here's all the books we read in great books, it generally comes back, oh, yeah, we'll accept that if the grades are there and all the other things kind of fit. It can, at times, put a premium on SATs into the super competitive colleges. Do your best on your SATs if you want to get accepted into some of these higher colleges or more difficult to get into colleges, because that's something that they'll measure off of, along with things like the honors projects and considering all the different activities that a student's involved in. We don't rank our students. It's not technically part of the accreditation thing, but it is some of a sense of how MCA is a little different than a traditional school. And one of the reasons we don't rank our students is because we are such a collaborative learning community. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but just we want our students to learn and work together in trying to understand their math problems. We don't want to rank students to where it kind of creates this competitive cutthroat. No, I'm going to learn this independently and separate from you, because if I help you get this, then that means I'm not going to be one of the top two or three students, and that's going to hurt my chances going forward. And so we've just kind of taken that off the table to depressurize that, to allow and encourage students to go work on their physics together or go work on their chemistry together and work through those problems as a group to help learn and build friendships and relationships, as opposed to just being isolated and independent.
Regarding that, we just got our middle son registered to take his first round of the SAT, I believe in November. And within that questionnaire online, it asked what your class rank is or what all in the top 10%.
Yeah.
It was almost comical because that was a concept that Conray, exceptional student grade-wise, but it had never occurred to him any sort of comparative or where he falls in the class. It's like, it was a weird situation to be in with him. And so we kind of estimated, but even that was for the sake of statistics, not for qualifying for anything. I would say as a parent, we kind of learned the hard way that I would encourage parents to absolutely take your SAT testing and scores, because that is critical more often than the accreditation. Do good on those SAT scores.
I would like to clarify one thing that you said. By not doing the class rank, it can handicap some of our students, because at most of the state schools, if you're in top 10%, which for us would be on an average year, somewhere between 2 and 3 seniors, they automatically get accepted into Texas A&M or Texas Tech or wherever it is that they want to go. UT is a little bit more particular, and it's top 7%, so that would be 2 students. And UT, we've had some students that have had some trouble getting into UT. We've had students that have gotten to get in, and we've also had students that I think are exceptionally qualified and boo on UT for not accepting them, their loss. That has been a handicap that has come back to hurt some of our students. On the whole, that said, we think that the learning environment trumps that small minority. And schools like A&M, as students have gotten in there and succeeded, it's really kind of become a pipeline for a lot of students to say, hey, yeah, we want more MCA students. And so the more MCA students get into a particular college and then thrive and succeed, the more easily it is for later students to be accepted into those programs. Two other things. One, with the not ranking, we don't have a valedictorian, but we do have a most outstanding a student award that's kind of given at the end of each year to the top 2 students that is recognized by the deans. And what that considers is things like GPA, MH projects, their involvement in extracurricular activities, the kind of person they were, what kind of RT leader were they. And so we really consider a full 360 on everything that they've been and the contribution that they've given to the school. And then we award that. Grades is a big part of it, but it's not limited to only academic. As best as we can see and humanize the full range of those individuals. One final thing with differences is we don't award things like the best personality, most humorous, most likely to succeed. But what we do have is kind of monthly character trait awards that the students vote on. And what we're trying to award is character. This student is won the kindness award, or this student won the diligence award. And it's awarding the things that we think God cares most about. I mean, personality, talent, humor, all of those things are really God-given. And character can be to a degree. Character is mostly done with a partnership of, okay, how am I going to allow God's Spirit to work in my life and grow me in specific areas and to become more like Jesus? Those are the things we really want to acknowledge, because in the end, that's what God cares most about. He doesn't care how many trophies or grades that we won. It's who did you become in the process to how you lived your life. I hope sets some of the vision for why we're not accredited. As a recap of the big answer, not being accredited lets us be ourselves as a school and pursue the things we want to pursue. But more importantly, it empowers you as parents to be in the clear position of authority while also not having to cowboy up and go this whole process alone. You, as mom and dad, are our accreditation board. And in the end of the day, you're the one that's going to be accountable to God for the education that your child receives. And we're here to partner with you and help you in that. But you are the one that says an MCA education is of value. And we answer to you as parents for what it is that we're doing. And so thank you for sending your sons and daughters to MCA or considering to do that. It's a disciple-making factory. Not that everybody comes out perfect. That's what it is that we're going for, more than just academics.
Well, Brandon, thanks for the insight. Listeners, thanks for listening. And we look forward to next time.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Goodnight Dad podcast, brought to you by Midland Classical Academy. Engaging minds, pursuing Christ, discovering